Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Always a pleasure to welcome acclaimed poet Elizabeth Clayton back to This Week in America. She's been called brilliant, artistic, contemplative, inspiring, and vibrant, all the while maintaining her humility. Elizabeth is a retired college and university professor in the fields of psychology and literature. Since retirement, she has written 23 works, primarily poetry. Elizabeth has received numerous commendations, including membership in the Sigma Kappa Delta, nominations for the Eric Hoffer Award, and representation at numerous world book fairs. In addition, she has several U.S. review recommendations, as well as multiple awards for Golden Seal of Excellence by her publisher. She lives alone at her country home in Jackson, Mississippi. New from Elizabeth Clayton is Sartow's Turn, and she joins us on This Week in America. Elizabeth, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
There's so much to talk about in the work that you do, focusing on Sartor's term during the interview today. What was your inspiration? What motivated you to write this book?
Well, actually, when I published the book from last year, Hinton and Rose, which we talked about on your program, it was already sort of kicking at my thought then, a lot of the ideas. And so as soon as I finished Hinton and Rose, I just went right into writing this one. It has to do with the value slide that I perceive is happening in our country and really worldwide. And it concerned me and caused me to write certain verses, and that's how I came to the title. You'll see how it unfolds. It's based on a title by Henry James, who wrote a short story called The Turn of the Screw. And when you turn the screw, nothing can be done. Everything's lost, and they can't get in. And so I was afraid that one day we would get out of balance so badly that we couldn't turn back. And that was where I started and began to go from there.
The book is Sartow's Turn. That's S-A-R-T-O-S, Sartow's Turn by Elizabeth Clayton.
Sartow, Andrea del Sarto, is a very fine poem written by Robert Browning, the English Victorian master. And it when you read the poem, you see what it has to do with. He comes upon the theme of his contemplative thought, and he says there strikes a balance. And in life, if we continue, we have to strike a balance, because life is a paradox. We can't live in extremes. We have to come back to the balance. We pull apart, and we have to come back. And I perceive that we have gone too far into an extreme, and we need to pull back to a balance.
You know, that's so fascinating, because as you're reading the book, you come to that conclusion. The reader will come to that conclusion as well. With all of Elizabeth's books, they are enlightening as well as entertaining. What was it about this topic that you really decided, and again, this a great deal of thought went into this, decided, boy, this is something I really need to address. Why this matter under consideration?
I have not taught for several years now because of the rheumatoid onset, but I have always taught in my classes with the purpose of wisdom, and I think that people need to spend time evaluating their lives periodically and to see where they are and what they're doing. And it seemed to me that no one was doing that anymore. I couldn't get a straight answer from anybody about anything. They didn't tell the truth. They didn't answer my questions. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know how to behave. And I thought, you know, we're just slipping really bad. And I need to address this. I don't have students anymore, so I will write.
And we are all your students as we read all of your books. As they say,
I don't go to class every day, but I do write every day. And I thought I can put my what I say doesn't have to be the truth, but it's the truth to me. And I have a special little essay at the first of the book that says a personal missive, and I do explain that these are my ideas. They don't have to be, you know, put on anybody and held. They don't have to be held to it. But these are my ideas. These are my observations. of years in the classroom of teaching these wisdoms, and we are veering very far away from the wisdoms that have held the world together all these years.
And sometimes it happens, I guess, gradually, and we don't fully comprehend that until someone like you, a scholar like you, will come forward and bring these together. And we'll talk about that during the course of the conversation. When you start piecing all of this together, it's like we are sliding some here. The book is Sartow's Turn by Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program. This book and all of her books you'll find at Amazon, all the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about how long it takes for you to formulate this concept. You had this idea for the book Sartow's Turn a few years ago, as you said, when you were writing Hinterland Rose. How long does it take for you to come up with a book, to take all of these thoughts, put them all together? How long of the process was it in writing Sartow's Turn?
It took almost 2 years this time because it began back with Hinterland Rose, and I had some really difficult evenings trying to formulate, now do I need to go that far and say just that? Will I offend or will I instruct? I wanted to instruct. I didn't want to offend. And I wanted people to think about issues that they have in their back rooms that we talked about in Hinterland Rose, in the unconscious mind. And when you look into your back rooms, you find those things that you don't want to think about because they're problematic, but they address problems that need to be addressed.
You do that so well in Sartow's Turn by Elizabeth Clayton. You talk about a number of major problems. You touched on a few just a few moments ago. What are some of the major problems that are present that need solutions that you address in Sartow's Turn?
I think one of the most important issues that we need to look at is the trivialization of very important matters to our soul. And those are our sentiments. We have very little concern for truth. We have very little concern for even punctuality. I mean, nobody is ever where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. They are telling the truth about a matter. They think, well, I can make a response, and that's all I have to do. People don't have the art of conversation mastered at all anymore. I don't know what to do in conversation sometimes because I will make a statement, and the statement made to me as a reply doesn't have anything to do with what I was talking about.
You know, that's interesting.
People are not addressing matters as they are. Life is not a fantasy. Life is reality. Life is objective reality.
And do you find so often...
And that's what we deal with.
Well, yes. Do you find so often that as you're talking, the person, you can tell by the lack of a proper response, really isn't understanding what you're talking about. They're all ready to come back with whatever it is they want to talk about.
That's exactly right. And they don't really... Our people, we need so badly, Rick, to address the educational systems that are in our country. Our people are not being... The reason that I write poetry is because I have an ability to write poetry. But people don't know how to read poetry because they're not being taught to read poetry anymore. It's too hard.
And it's such a valuable tool, as you use it in all of your books.
It is. Poetry is a metaphorical way of saying something, which means that it is an underlined, it is an underscored way of saying truth.
Elizabeth.
And the poets that we have, the record of their thought, is a record of the best minds of a certain period in a certain place.
And those
they have come and gone.
And those are the poets who have shaped you, haven't they? You quote them so often and so well, and I'm sure you use them in all of your classes. All of those greats contributed to who you are today.
Oh, I think so, the way I think. And it alienates a person somewhat to dwell too long in those lands. But I am more happy with the truths that I find than with the hazy, flappy kind of reality that a lot of people are content with. Everything in our culture now, Rick, has to be either fast, fast, fast,
yes,
very colorful, loud, almost noise, and those kinds of descriptions. I think it would frighten a person almost to uncomfortable, being uncomfortable to have to sit in a silent place for very long and think. I don't think you'd know what to do.
It's amazing. People don't like quiet, it seems like. It's like we have to have so much going on in our lives. The book is Sarto's Turn by Elizabeth Clayton. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. One line that caught my attention out of so many in the book: we have become more aggressive, intolerant, unsociable, not enjoying accomplishment, all under the guise of feigned well wishes for all, especially for all who are demonstrably alike. Have a great day. And everybody says that, don't they, whether they mean it or not?
Everybody says have a great day, and they don't give a tap what kind of day you have.
That's exactly.
They don't even know what your day would be like if you explained it to them.
No, and I find that if you come up with a negative answer, they say that's great, and they keep right on walking and
that's
have
right.
No idea.
It just astounds me. It makes me just feel very much like I'm in some kind of land that I don't know. People say, that's right, we'll have to do that sometime. I don't even talking about doing anything anytime.
It's just amazing. So many insights in Elizabeth's book, Sarto's Turn. What are some of the suggested solutions? You bring out some of the issues, some of the problems so well, and you have some suggested solutions as well. What are some of those that could maybe slow us down at least a little bit here to make a better thing out of this thing called life?
Well, I think one thing that we could do is to, how can I say this? Spend more time with our own person, with ourselves. And, they say that people who are addicted cannot bear to be by themselves because they hear their real voices. And if people will spend some time by themselves, they will hear their real voices. And one way that we do that is to align ourselves with some of the old myths that we used to have. Now, when man was first here, he didn't have any supports like that. He didn't have a God. He didn't have a myth. And through the years, he built himself some myths. And these myths gave him strength and courage so that he could face these things in his silent time. And we've explained away all our myths. We have explained about how to do everything. We think we can do everything mechanically. And if we can't, we just say, oh, well, let somebody else do it. And we give up, and we're apathetic. I'm not so sure that we're as bad off about the myths as we are about apathy. We just don't want to do anything. Let somebody else do it.
You also address the making use of natural resources. And, boy, this is something that you do where you live. You are surrounded by nature. Talk about that and how grounding that is.
Well, nature, in the old way of thinking, before the Renaissance, nature was the face of God. It was the only constant that we had. And you know and I know that the sun has never not come up one single morning. We have never not failed to have our four seasons. They may vary. They may be a little different there, here and there and that sort of thing, and they do sort of modulate somewhat. But we have had these, and I think that if we study nature, we can see that there is a controlling, I won't say person, there is a controlling entity. There is an intelligence that is seeing that things work the right way, and we can study the natural way of things, and you can get into a lot of hard, bad, as we want to say, conversations with people by saying this is not natural or this is unnatural or whatever. I'm not going into that. I'm just saying that if we go by the natural mode of happening of most activities, we will be more safe than we will venturing too far out. See, it's not that we don't need extremes. We do need extremes. They point out things that we need to know, but you cannot live in an extreme. You have to come back to a balance, and that is usually toward the more natural. Elizabeth, in my opinion.
Well, yes, a valued opinion. Elizabeth Clayton, our guest on the program. The new book is Sartos Turn. That's S-A-R-T-O-S. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. You sort of sum it up at the end of the book, philosophy of living. You say life is a feast. Go to table often and stay a long, long time. Explain your philosophy, yes. Because that's that sounds very appealing. I mean, talk a little bit about that, how important it is to, at least for you, to follow philosophy.
Some people may think that's a strange statement for me to make. I was diagnosed as bipolar when I was 24 and was really ill most of my adolescent years, too. And life has been difficult. But I find myself, because of my background, my family, my teaching, my love, it was a good education that I had in a difficult fashion, but I had it anyway. I have found that life is a veritable feast. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. It is glorious. It is the only one we have, that we know we have. And I'm not saying there isn't life after death. I'm saying it's the only one we know we have, that we know about. There is a wonderful metaphor that Stephen Crane wrote about a beast who is sitting in the desert. And a man walks by, and he looks at the beast, and the beast is eating a piece of meat that's dripping blood. And he's startled, and he says, "Sir, what are you doing?" And the beast says, "I'm eating my heart." And the man is just shocked. He walks away. He wants to get away. But he's compelled to come back, and he comes back. And he says to the man, "Well, sir, how is it?" And the beast says, "Bitter, bitter." And so the man says, "But then why do you continue to eat?" And the beast says, "Because it is my heart, and I love it." That is one of the most profound metaphorical expressions of life I have ever read. We have one life, and it is ours, and we love it. We want to eat it, drink it. We want to absorb every bit of it, even though it hurts along the way.
With us is Elizabeth Clayton back on This Week in America. A couple minutes left in the program. You, in the acknowledgments, you talk about a very important person in your life. I wanted just to mention her and get your input. Mrs. Cordella Williams Harvey. And I think for so many of us, we don't have that person in our life that's a valued teacher, becomes a friend along the way. You've had so many people that you influenced in your classes. You've helped shape their lives. She did that for you. Talk about the influence that that she had on your life.
Mrs. Harvey was a gracious, fine lady. She was a very able woman, and she believed in wisdom and truth. And she taught me the last 2 years of my high school literature. And then she taught the first 2 years of my baccalaureate, the freshman in composition and literature of freshman and sophomore. And she taught me always to look for the central idea of whatever it was we were reading. It is there that you find the truth. And she says, "We're teaching you here not to just have to make a living when you get out of college. You must live, of course, but we're trying to teach you how to make a life." And she really would sponsor this statement, the Eastern statement. The wise man is a man who is seeking, not he who has found. We seek truth all of our lives in whatever we do. It is there that peace will be restored to us.
Well, those so important words, and I've got a minute or so here, but I want to, you talked about education. I want to go back to that for a second. Is that something that's missing in education? We're not concerned about the heart anymore. It's the head that we're focused on, and teaching someone how to go out and accumulate wealth and have a successful life, measuring success by the wealth that they have, the material things that they have. Are we missing the boat on education and not educating the full person?
We've missed it already.
Okay.
And our young people don't value anything. That's what ennui and ennui mean. They're French words, they're foreign words, but they mean that we have lost all of our valued selves. We have no joy in our salvation, as the poet said in Psalms.
This book is so important. It's Sartos Turn by Elizabeth Clayton. What are you working on now? Do you have a book that you're working on?
I'm just playing with some little verses to do a bedside table reader. And it'll just be pleasant couplets and quatrains that people can read before they go off to sleep.
Oh, now that would be fascinating. Would love to talk about that. How are you coming? When do you think maybe that will be published?
Oh, I'll probably finish it this year. I haven't got the images done. I have all the verses together, but I haven't done. It's going to be named after my mother, and it's a mental piece to me. I'm going to sew the cover with tapestry and then photograph that and let the images match. And so I think it'll be a pretty little book. Not anything deep and heavy like this one, but it has a lot of heavy thoughts in it.
Well, sometimes we need light, sometimes we need heavy, and you bring out so many problems and solutions. So the world goes by so quickly. Again, sometimes I don't think we even realize what we're losing. Just think back maybe 10 years ago.
We just wonder where did the time go? Yes. It went with our being frustrated part of the time and not even knowing we were in it. I think that's what happens a lot of the time.
Well, that's...
But at any rate, it will probably be about a year in getting ready.
Well, I look forward to talking about that as well. It is always a pleasure, Elizabeth, to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Elizabeth Clayton, she's the author of Sartow's Turn, the book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. All of her books available there. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.